contacted earlier in the week and was invited along to speak at two different youth meetings. Unfortunately, wasn't able to go to either of them. Just the way things are in the Derry, I was not able to go along. The very fact that I was invited to them set me thinking about what I might have spoken about if I was able to go along to one of them. Of course, when we do go to take a youth meeting, we always try to have something of encouragement for the young people, and also very often something that will help them to be wary in a world of sin. And I was thinking about this passage in the book of Joshua and chapter 9. And if you know, and I'm sure you do, many of you anyway, that up until now, Joshua, who was, as far as I can see, an intelligent man, he had done very well in following the Lord's directions at Jericho. Jericho had been literally flattened. And then even though they had problems with Achan, Achan and his sin had been dealt with, and Ai had been taken, even though the first attempt was a wee bit naive. And we see, of course, that Joshua, for all his goodness and greatness, he was still a man, and he was capable of getting it a bit wrong at times. But when you come to chapter 9, we are coming and introduced here really to the Gibeonites, a different creature altogether from maybe some of those that Joshua had earlier had been confronted by. The Gibeonites, whatever else they might have been, they were extremely crafty people, and they knew how to set up the situation. In fact, when you think of them, I just want to mention this in going by, that when you think of them and those that are mentioned in verse 1, isn't it amazing how people who, when you look deeply at it, they were so different from each other, and yet they were able to set aside any personal animosity or hatred that they had for one another, and they were able to unite to fight against God's cause. Not much hasn't changed down through the years. There are those, and it talks of them in Proverbs 11 and 21. It says, though hand joined in hand, then it talks about the wicked not prospering. And that has been the pattern down through the years. And while there are those who would openly have confronted Joshua, we have here the Gibeonites, and the main weapon in their arsenal seems to be deceit and guile. And you will see here in verse 4 that it says, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. And they got this all set up, and they thought they would come along now and they would in effect pull the wool over Joshua's eyes. He, as I said, I think he was an intelligent man. And not that that was a necessary credential to be a military leader, but it didn't do any harm that he wasn't stupid. He was very intelligent, I believe. But he didn't do so well here. And as you read this passage, you see that he was, at least for a time, hoodwinked. And as I was thinking of all of that, and the young people, and I'm sure that, like me, you have a love for young people in your heart. You love to see them doing well in life and whatever they're doing, but you are so glad when they are spurred from the snares and the pitfalls. And I want to look with you this morning at watching out for the crafty Gibeonites. Watching out for the crafty Gibeonites. Now, it's not a message just for young people, because I thought a lot about it and I thought how applicable it is to me. The Gibeonites, they're noted for their craftiness here. I want you to notice, first of all, as you and I watch out for the Gibeonites, in our lives that we come up against. There is a problem of appearance. The problem of appearance. Look at verse 4 and 5. They did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and plighted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and mouldy. Did they not go to great lengths? And we're ever so careful here to make sure that everything looked as if they had come from very far away. It was a very, very, very crafty tactic. And as you would see these people approach you, maybe there was that thought in your heart, oh, look at the poor people. They've come a long way. Their clothes are in rags, and they're just eating the scraps now, and they're reduced to eating that which they would normally throw away. And the appearance was a problem here, because they come before Joshua and the people, and at least for a time here, they fooled them. And there was that appearance. You will see there, and we look at it a little bit later on, and the men, Joshua's men, took of their victuals, verse 14, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That was a mistake. But we look at that in just a minute. We're looking here at the problem of appearance. And right up until February 23, this is one of Satan's favorite tactics. Appearance. The problem of appearance. And when I say that, to put it in simple terms, I mean dressing up wrong or sin as that which is acceptable. We read there in what it says in John chapter 7, in verse 24. It says, judge not according to appearance. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge not according to appearance, but maybe you are just like me. And so often we judge something by how it appears. And we estimate its worth by how it appears to us. Maybe you turn over with me, please, in your Bible to 1 Samuel. And chapter 16. And if you know the situation here, we have Eliab, David's older brother, in verse 6. And save time, we're just going to read from verse 6. It says, and it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, Eliab may have been strong. And he may have, I can't say for sure, but he may have looked the part. But the thought here was on what appeared to be. Let's read the next verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Maybe he had a tough look about him. Good, tough guy. To lead Israel and be their king. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. He was no pushover, a big man. Because I have refused him. I've refused him. For the Lord looketh not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Where it says there, man looketh on the outward appearance, it's a reference in the Hebrew to man's, what appeals to his eyes. What appeals to his eyes, and the thought here is not just of sprightliness, but of that which seems to have a great look of solidity about it, and that was Eliab. And yet the Lord said, look, man looketh in the outward appearance, But the Lord looketh on the part. Men can tell how people look, but only God can tell how we are. That's what we're seeing here. Samuel could realize, here's a man and he looks the part. He's a big strong fella. He'll not be easily bullied around. And this is just what we need. And the Lord said, no. You know that they ended up choosing David. Just a young boy. But actually, I was looking here at Eliab. If you look with me there, just over in chapter 17 and verse 28, it says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Now, David now is ready to take on Goliath. And he's determined to get at him. And it says here, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left a few sheep in the wilderness? He's making fun of him. I know thy pride and the naughtiness or foolishness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He wasn't down to see the battle. He was out to lead the battle. And this was Eliab. He's not a stumbling block. And Samuel, who was a very good person, he thought he was dead on. He would do the job very well. The problem of appearance is very real. If you look over there in 2 Corinthians as well, please. In chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul wouldn't need to be commending his appearance. As we know, he was supposed to be all hunched over, like almost a hunchback. Very small and very, very weak physically, not spiritually. But he says here, for in verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. And we could go on and on and on, glorying in appearance. The devil seems to do very well when it comes to the problem of appearance. If I turn over just a page or two there to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, and it's verse 13. And we're getting now in a little bit more sinister. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now we've only looked at some verses here, and I trust that already, considering here the problem of appearance, that we've all been reminded that it is a problem. It is a problem. I want to read what it says in the book of Proverbs and over there in chapter 6. You needn't worry about turning to it if you don't want to. I'll read just for time. It says in verse 23, and the picture here is not of an individual person, but of a system, or the system of the world. That's really what it is. Verse 23 of Proverbs 6, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of light. That shows us, folks, that God's word is our friend all of the time. That's why we teach it to the young, and we read it and listen to it for ourselves, and we believe it, because it is our friend all of the time. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery and the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The word hunt there is a reference to a huntsman who's totally focused upon the prey. Let's say it's an antelope out in the plains. And there's bushes and so on, and the antelope is running for his life, and they're hunting it. Well, the huntsman has to be totally focused upon it. Well, let's say it's not even a huntsman. It's a jaguar or a cheetah. And maybe you've watched documentaries there and you see the creature 100% focused on the prey. Has to be. because the prayer is 100% focused on getting away. But the thought here is of the ways of the world who will be 100% focused on getting you. 100% focused on fooling you. And one way that the world is able to do that with a great degree of success is by appearance. By appearance. And as I thought of young people, and I think of all of us, how easy it is to be duped by that which appears okay. Didn't we read there together in Joshua chapter 9, in verses 4 and 5, they did work wilily. It means craftily. That's all it means. And they went and they had the whole thing. We have to say here that the Gibeonites had everything set up extremely well to fool Joshua. And folks, the world system is extremely well set up to fool you and me. I mentioned young people, sometimes they're a great example. But it can be when we are young, if we're not very much experienced in the world, that we can judge something by how it appears and we can fall for it hook, line and sinker. And here we have Joshua, and a man who, as I said, Jericho was in ruins. Ai had been taken in spite of their initial seeming success. Achan, who brought the people to a halt with the sin, he had been exposed and he's gone now. And things were good, and Joshua still fell for the Gibeonites. He still fell for the Gibeonites. And sometimes you and I who have experience in life, we can still fall for appearance. And we mentioned a variety of things there, right through to the devil's apostle, the devil's disciples, and himself being like an angel of light. And I would just say, young people, please be very, very careful. Be very careful. And there are those, I can tell a story, and I may have told it before one time, of a young girl who was going out with a fella, and I can't remember if he was a Christian or not, but she was. And before they got married, it was evident that they were going to get married, but before they got married, she was in some sports thing with other young girls, and her friend was there, and in the changing room. And in the changing room, the other girl noticed marks on her back. He said, "What's that?" And she says, "Oh, that's just a hit." She says, "Those are knuckle marks." He says, "Is he hitting you?" And she says, and then she went in to say how nice he was and how funny he was and how good he was. And he was only like that whenever he got really cross, and whenever they got married, everything would be well. And her friend did her very best to talk her out of marrying him, but she couldn't do it. This is a true story in Northern Ireland. And she married him. And all I say is it didn't go well for her. It didn't go well for her because she was going by the fact that he was charming and he was handsome and he was funny, able to tell jokes and all of that. And she went for appearance. And young people, that was just one area of life. We also mentioned right down to religion. I've heard people far more educated than me coming out of meetings that were absolute drivel. And real big opportunity. Maybe scores of unsaved people present, and there was nothing. Only a little, some big words, and a little story, and no gospel. And people who are far more educated come over and say, "Oh, wasn't it such a lovely service? A memorial service for my own grandfather, who was a Christian man." Lady came over to me and says, "Oh, wasn't it such a beautiful service?" And I said, "What was good about it? What was good about it? The things that were said about Granley were true. But there's nothing good about the word." And that is another great danger. We could go on and on and on this morning. There is watching out for the Gibeonites. They're there today. You will meet as Joshua did, head on enemies. Like Jericho, and you'll not know what to do when you come to the walls, and you'll have to obey the Lord and wait, and then the Lord took the walls down. And then you'll have Ai, where perhaps where we overestimate ourselves, and we have to re-establish ourselves again and have another go. They were too confident of themselves. What about Achan? Sin in the camp. Well, we hope we don't have that in our heart to deal with. But then every now and again there will be the Gibeonites. And I could talk a lot this morning. There's a person I've known all their days, and they're still a lot younger than me. But right now, they are embracing all of this appearance. And I often think of them, and I wouldn't say I think of them every day, but I think of them often, and I often just ask the Lord to show them, get them back to where they were, because they're falling for appearance, and it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. And that's exactly what I would have said if I'd gone to the youth meeting. Just watch out. The problem of appearance. But let's notice something else here when we look here at the Gibeonites. It reminds us that our hearts crave pleasant words. I like it when people say nice things. And so do you. If we go to the doors and outreach and someone's really nice, we like that. Or we're involved in sport and someone on the other team, even if we beat them or whatever, or they beat us, people are pleasant. And that's good. We like, our heart naturally craves pleasant words. So they decided here that they would lie left, right, and center regarding where they come from. And they said, we become from a far country. Now, you'll see here that in verse 9, it says, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. They're feigning their faith. They're not interested in God. All they want to do is escape the sword of Joshua and to fool him. But you'll see there in verse 8 that they hold out the hand. And they said to Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye and from whence are you come? Now, with all that they did say, there were some things they did not say. Now, when you look at verse 9 and 10, they didn't mention Ai. And they didn't mention Jericho, because if they came from a very far country, they would have not known about these things. And they said, we have heard what all that God did in Egypt. Quite a lot has happened now since Egypt. These people are really on top of it. They're really on top of it, and they really knew what to say. And Joshua and them men go back, maybe, oh, how the Lord brought us out with a high hand out of Egypt. How good it was. But look at everything that happened since. They knew not to mention it. Because they come from a very far country, they said. Well, actually, they didn't come from so far at all. You'll see they didn't mention Ai, and they didn't mention Jericho there. But you'll notice when he pressed them there. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye and from whence are ye come? There was no straight answer. And amazingly, Joshua seemed to content himself with fudge. It says here, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come. Then they dressed it up with, because of the name of the Lord thy God, we've heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. And again, the words are very, very pleasing. They're very pleasing to Joshua and the people here. And folks, those who want to take you away from God's way very often will say things that appeal to you. And I've had people say to me, but I know so-and-so, and they're actually more pleasant to me than some Christians are. I'm sorry to hear that, but that may well be the case. But it does not mean that the system that they want you into will not harm you. And what they want to take you away to will not actually destroy you. They were speaking smoothly and speaking winsomely, and they were saying the right words because they knew that Joshua and his people's heart is just like mine and probably yours. We do crave pleasant words and we like it when people say things that sit easy with us. But they're wanting to be friends, and there's an urgency here. If you look at the end of the verse, we are your servants, therefore now, and the word now on this occasion means immediately. Immediately make a league with us. They're not going to waste any time beating about the bush here. And those who want you and I to join with them. It's amazing too that just during the week I was talking to a man, speaking to a man just briefly. And he told me of a lady who is a Christian. And without going into a lot of detail, this man wanted to be in association with her. And she wouldn't have that, so he went to some meetings and he said he got saved. And for some reason or other, some of her friends said, well, you just want to watch for a while and see. And then whenever she wouldn't have anything to do with him, he contacted her with swear words and things that he said that she did not believe he was capable of saying because the mask slipped. Tried the pleasant words that I've become a Christian. No, he hadn't. So it's all very real, men and women. And all of this that they said, all of their words were intended to appeal, as pleasant words, to appeal to the pride of Israel. See what it says there? We have heard of the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites. And in other words, there's no end to what the Lord has done for you. Can't you see some of Joshua, it seems Joshua a little bit as well, on this occasion, feeling honored and respected and feeling, well, it's so good that the Lord has done so much for us that people want to be associated with us. And I, the first to say, admit that we do like to hear pleasant words, even as Christians. But remember this, there may be Christians you feel that are very unpleasant to you, or nasty to you, and I'm sorry about that. Well, that has happened probably to most of us at some time, but that does not change the fact that the world system wants to destroy you. And very often, they use words. They use words. And they say the right thing in order to entice you. And when young people are getting to the stage where they're thinking university and different things, and while we would wish them very well, and it's none of my business where anybody goes on to university ever, you want to think these things out. Because one thing that we do want when we go anywhere is some kind of friendship. I'm just thinking now of someone else who has found that, and it's going that way there. Found the words, found the appearance, and all that was held dear for enough years is slowly but surely being left behind. So we need to watch out for the Gibeonites. Our hearts crave pleasant words. But I have another thought here, and it is this, that we need close communion with the Lord, and that brings us up to that walk with the Lord that we all need every day. We need close communion with the Lord to have perception. Let's look again at verse 14. The men now have been turning up with their old bottles that are supposed to have been on the go for such a long time. Their moldy bread and their shoes that are falling apart. It says, and the men took their victuals. Probably going to give them better stuff. The men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. How they fell for it. How they fell for it. And when you think of the day and age in which we live, where it is on a nationwide thing in the world. In the world, is it not true to say that there are those who are seeking to appear to be something? They may use the right words that appeal to you, but if you are not closely looking with the, walking with the Lord, you may not perceive what exactly is going on. You could say it politically in any country. You could say it whenever you are a youth, that it is so important that we have that walk with the Lord and we see it for what it is. We're able to perceive that this is not right. Joshua did not ask the Lord. Now, if you look back in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 21, you will see there that it actually speaks specifically regarding him about him knowing the importance of asking counsel of the Lord. And here he didn't do it. They were so good. And whatever area of life it is in for me, I often tell Cherith that I says I got what I asked for when I was asking about a wife. And that may be a joke sometimes with her. She says, what do you mean by that? And then I have to explain myself and talk my way out of it. Say, no, you are nice and all that. But whether it is marriage or career or where we live or anything else, let's beware of the Gibeonites. It wasn't an all-on aggressive confrontation, but it was craftiness and guile that filled Joshua. The problem of appearance. Our hearts crave pleasant words. And if there's not that close communion with the Lord and seeking counsel from the Lord, then you can get it wrong. You can get it wrong altogether. The Gibeonites were so brilliant that all of Joshua's doubts disappeared. And if in important issues, if we are in doubt, let's not move until the doubts are dealt with. Until we get a satisfactory answer. Whenever they didn't, going away back here to when they said, he said, where are you from? That's a very direct, you could say I'm from Appalachia, or I'm from McGabbery, or I'm from Annaghmore, or wherever you're from. They said, oh, we're from a very far country. That could be anywhere. He should have known then. The alarm bell should have been going off then. Those doubts that he had, and those doubts that you and I might have, could be put there by the Holy Spirit. Put there by the Holy Spirit. So let's not discard them if they are there. And those that we are dealing with continually. If there's no specific answer regarding what they're about, be afraid and be wary and be very careful. Remembering at the end of the day, they're saying here, they're saying that they are ambassadors. Ambassadors, and this is another thought, would not want to come in such clothes and in such a state. Ambassadors, they come to impress. The ambassador for the United Kingdom goes to other parts of the world. They go there with a message representing us, and they go there to impress. They go there to impress. And I trust, just as we close now, that we will remember the Gibeonites. Remember their craftiness. Young people, and all of us, let's be watching out and be very careful with what the appearance we see, what people say, remembering how their words can be full of craft and guile, and remembering the importance, especially, of closeness with the Lord and asking counsel at the mouth of the Lord. We're going to sing.